Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and you've likely heard by now that in 2020, the U.S. government will unveil a new $20 bill and move over Andrew Jackson. The seventh president of the United States will no longer grace the front of the bill. Instead, it will be the famous abolitionist, humanitarian, who was born a slave, Harriet Tubman. Here's Treasury Secretary Jack Lew announcing the change yesterday.
It's the essential story of American democracy about how one person who grew up in slavery could change the course of history in this country because of what she did to risk her life to free people on an individual basis, what she did to help her country by being a guide or a spy during the Civil War, and what she did after that to help drive the debate on women's suffrage. That is a legacy of what an individual can do in a democracy that we'd all do well to learn from, which is why it's so much the right image for our $20 bill.
So those are some of the facts of Harriet Tubman's remarkable story. And to take us deeper into that story, we're happy to welcome Kate Clifford Larson. She lives in Winchester. She's the author of a number of books, including Bound for the Promised Land, Harriet Tubman, Portrait of an American Hero. And Kate Clifford Larson, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure to meet you and to talk to you about this great story. What was your reaction to yesterday's news?
Well, first I had to pull off on the side of the road, and I had a few tears, and then the emotions and the excitement, it's hard to describe, but I am thrilled beyond belief.
Well, we heard Secretary Jack Lew talking a little bit about Harriet Tubman's remarkable life. In your view, what makes her the right person to put on the $20 bill?
Well, not only is she all the things that Secretary Lew mentioned and her legacy that has carried forward to this day, which is pretty remarkable for a formerly enslaved black woman to still have this power today. But I think for this moment in time in our nation's culture and politics and history, to have an African-American woman on the most popular piece of currency is remarkable and poignant and important. It sends a strong message that women's work, women's contributions are valued, and especially the contributions of black women.
I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the great details of her life, which I know you wrote a whole book about. But first, there's this special irony regarding the $20 bill, because as I just learned, Harriet Tubman actually received $20 from the U.S. government, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. She was a spy during the war, and she struggled to get recognition for her work doing that. She eventually received a pension as a nurse for the Civil War and for the Union Army. And added to that pension was a pension for her dead veteran husband. Hmm. So it came to $20 a month.
$20. And now she'll be starting in 2020 on every $20 bill in the country. As we mentioned, Andrew Jackson, he'll move to the back of the $20 bill. So he'll still be there. He won't be the star on the front of the bill. But there's a certain significance to this, too, considering Andrew Jackson was a slave owner.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not completely happy that he's going to remain on the bill. However, you know, on the back of the bill, you know, if that's where they want to put him, then fine. Tubman is still going to be the face of that piece of currency. And when she spit out of every ATM, that's who we're going to see. And she will make us think.
I want to hear a little bit more about her story. She was born a slave in Eastern Maryland in 1822. She not only figured out how to escape herself, but then returned, right? Again and again to bring out members of her family and other people. Tell us a little bit about this remarkable story.
It is remarkable because while there were people who fled and escaped successfully, very few returned, and virtually none of them returned the number of times that Tubman did. And she was driven for the love of her family and her friends on the eastern shore of Maryland. And she was actually a brilliant, brilliant person and a brilliant strategist. So she was able to do this. She had the skills and the drive and the courage and this incredible faith that sort of made her feel secure, that enabled her to go back and again and again and again.
Well, how did that even work? I mean, someone who has escaped, how could she go back and feel secure?
Well, part of it was because of this Underground Railroad network system everybody's heard about.
Sure.
And it was very real, and it was quite powerful on the eastern shore of Maryland through Delaware into Pennsylvania. And she added to that network. She tapped into it initially, but then she added to it with her own contacts and her own ways of connecting with people and getting them to do the things that she needed them to do.
Hmm. And then this remarkable part of her life where she worked, as we mentioned earlier, as a Civil War spy.
Right.
So what did that entail?
Well, the government hired her, and they actually paid her for her spy services just a little bit, but they did pay her for those people who were doubtful that she ever spied for the Union Army. Well, she was this petite black woman, and she could get into the countryside unnoticed, really. Who's going to notice another black woman? Mm-hmm. So she was able to get information that the Union Army needed, and she recruited local men to work as spies with her, and she helped lead Colonel James Montgomery up the Combahee River in June of 1863. It was a great raid, and they liberated 750 enslaved people, and it was a great, great success.
Remarkable. Now, I know you've mentioned that there are myths that surround Harriet Tubman and her story. Do you want to debunk one or two of those?
Sure.
What are those myths that you're referring to?
One is the myth that she rescued 300 people. That isn't true. Mm-hmm. She actually rescued about 70 family members and friends over an 11-year period. But she also gave instructions to about 70 more who found their way to freedom on their own. That is remarkable in itself. And to know the details of each of those escapes is just, it's mind-boggling how she could do it in a day when we didn't have GPS. She couldn't read or write. Transportation was crude. Hmm. And there was no $40,000 bounty for her capture. She was not known. That she ran away. There was a $100 reward for her capture, and that was it. No one suspected this tiny, disabled black woman to be that Harriet Tubman who was affecting so many escapes from the eastern shore of Maryland.
I want to ask you a little bit about how we remember her here in Boston. There's a statue of her in Harriet Tubman Park in the South End. Did she have connections at all to Boston?
She did. Actually, she loved the Boston abolitionists, and she was very close to them. In fact, William Lloyd Garrison gave her the nickname Moses when he met her in 1855. He was so impressed by her stories and her skills at rescuing people that he's the one that gave her that name.
Now, you know, it's such a great story, and I think it's safe to say that most people learn something about Harriet Tubman in school, but arguably not as much as they should. Why is her story not as front and center in America, right?
It should be? I think that goes along with a lot of our American history that's been obscured for all of us. When it comes to women and people of color, disabled people, people who live outside the norms of society at the time, their stories don't get passed forward. And it's time to change that. And I think having Tubman on the front of the 20 begins to show us that we are changing and our diverse country and is going to move forward in that direction.
And what do you make of folks who push back and say and argue that putting her on the currency is actually an insult to her legacy? Stephen Thrasher wrote in The Guardian that the $20 bill is the very symbol of the racialized capitalism she was fleeing. What do you say to that?
I don't agree with that. I think that she is probably extremely happy that this has happened. And she turned capitalism on its head by stealing her own body and the bodies of other people. And she was an incredible entrepreneur. Many people don't know, for the last 50 years of her life, she ran businesses out of her home in Auburn, New York, and supported a house full of dependents. She fought and struggled for freedom, equality, and self-determination and economic parity.
Well, that's historian Kate Clifford Larson. She's author of Bound for the Promised Land, Harriet Tubman, Portrait of an American Hero. Her most recent book is Rosemary, the Hidden Kennedy Daughter, and you can find out more about her books at radioboston.org. But today she was talking about the decision to put Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. That'll be out in 2020. Kate Clifford Larson, thank you. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
And we learned from Kate that Swing Low, Sweet Chariot was one of Harriet Tubman's favorite songs. So we'll end today with a version by Mavis Staples.
Sweet Chariot. Come. coming for to carry me.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
A band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home.